Hey, Hugh, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, this is, and it's not just with me, the Coach Dave Dobenmeyer. Hello out there, America, especially to all of you who maybe are tuning in to us for the first time today. I wrote about it at newsofviews.com and wrote about it at a couple other different websites. So if you're joining us for the first time, come on in. The water's fine. Pull up a chair. We have room for 10 people to get in here with us. If somebody hangs up or drops out, you can jump in, but that doesn't happen very often. If you're watching us by YouTube, we've been doing this since January, last week of January, 5 days a week, and we've really got a band of brothers that are going on here. We're just, I hate to use this term. You ready? We're a diverse group of guys from all different parts of America. Don't seem to see. Now look, I'm going to show you something right now. Here's where my brain automatically went because we're programmed this way. When I said we're a diverse group, I immediately looked down to see if there's any black guys. Does that ever happen to anybody? They have so programmed us that way. Now, ask yourself this. If you look down to see if we were diverse, did your mind go and say, God, I wonder if there's any Chinese guys? Did that pop into your brain, looking for Chinese guys? No, that never didn't pop in my brain. Gay. I wonder if there's any gay guys. That would be diverse, wouldn't it? That'd be diverse. We're programmed. And that's what we try to do here every morning at Pass the Salt, is we try to go where no one else will go. Nowhere, no one else in the media will go there. And try to open your eyes through the scriptures, the spirit of truth. Bible says that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. That's what we want to try to do. This is not a show where I come on and tell you what I think, although I do. It's a show where I come in, I throw out a subject, and we open up the Word, we discuss it, and here's what's important. This is what makes this show like nothing else that I know of. Your opinion matters. This isn't like you go to church, and when you get in church, you sit there, and some guy stands up in the pulpit, and you listen to him for 40 minutes. Your mind wanders and all that kind of stuff. This is interactive. On our show, if you've got something to say, you're allowed to say it. If you think I'm full of crap, you're allowed to say that, and I don't get mad. And that is, to me, that's true diversity. When you get a chance to say what's on your mind. Doesn't happen very often. Doesn't happen very often in the church. By the way, the word denomination, we come from different denominations. I'm sorry if there's some background noise. You won't believe this. My studio is in my basement. My wife's doing some laundry. So if you hear that in the background, it is. It is what it is. See, I just lost my train of thought. Doesn't matter, because I got a lot of stuff. Again, as usual, I want to share with you. I want to stop right now, though. I'm going to call on my buddy Larry. Larry got arrested at Target six, 8 weeks ago, maybe. And yesterday, he went down and tried to get some information from the police regarding his arrest. Larry, for those who I know, there are many out there who casually listen. Give us your story. What happened when you went down there yesterday, Larry? Larry lives in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, by the way. Hang on, Larry. We don't have you yet. It's on your end. You got to unmute yourself, bud.
Yeah, I forgot about it. Okay. Very early on in the process, I filled out a discovery request through the clerk of court's office to ask the prosecutor for any stuff they had to do with the case, and I asked for some things specifically. And when they sent me stuff, they didn't send me anything that I'd asked for. They just sent me some stuff I already had, like a copy of my ticket and a copy of the booking report where I got booked. But I wanted especially the video of the body cam that the policeman said that he had running when he arrested me. That's what I was interested in getting my hands on, because there's stuff on that video that's going to make me decide whether I'm going to fight this in court or not. And so I... they didn't give me the video for my discovery stuff, so I called up the solicitor and asked her why. And she says, well, the police, you know, I submitted the discovery request to the police department, but they didn't send any of that stuff you asked for over, so I couldn't give it to you if I didn't have it. I says, well, how do I get it then? It's supposed to be in existence. The officer said there was such a video. And so she said, well, you have to go to the police department and get it. So I went over to the police department. And they said, well, you'll have to go to our records department to get it. So I went to the records department. I filled out a form, turned it in and everything. And now 3 weeks later, yesterday, I went back to the records department and I walked in. And the lady behind the desk says, can I help you? I says, I hope so. I says, a few weeks ago, I was in here and filled out one of those forms requesting for some, you know, information and documents. And I says it was for a video of the body cam that the officer was wearing when he arrested me for holding my protest sign in front of Target. And she says, well, let me check on that. And she started looking in her computer. Now, I hadn't given her my name yet. And she started looking in her computer. She saw something. You know, you can tell people's reactions.
Sure.
She saw something on the computer screen. She said, well, let me go talk to somebody. So she went around behind the wall and all that. Anyway, she came back and she says, well, I think I said something like, you know, well, am I going to get my video? And she says, well, you have to go through the right procedure. Oh, that flipped the switch in me. Because I tell you, I says, listen, I says, I've gone through the right procedure. I says, I started off with asking for a discovery request. I says, the clerk of court helped me fill it out. The right, you know, the official paperwork and everything. I says, we turned it over to the solicitor. The solicitor sent a copy to the police department. And then the solicitor sent me some stuff, but nothing that I asked for, just what I already had. I says, I called the solicitor. The solicitor said the police didn't give it to her, so she couldn't give it to me. And I went through the story. And I says, so here I am again, following the steps that I've been told to follow every step of the way, and now I'm told I'm not following the procedure. I said, so what's going on? So she went and got somebody else and came out. I asked for a captain. She went and got somebody else that came out and told me that I had to do the right procedure. So I went through it again, started raising my voice a little bit because I was getting agitated. Anyway, so they went and got a big burly lieutenant that came out there. And he came out there and says, you're getting a little too loud out here. And I told him, I says, excuse me, sir. I says, have we gone to the stage in the United States of America where if you speak above a regular, normal, low-toned voice, you can be arrested in this country? I says,
oh, yeah.
Where we're at. And anyway, they went. 20 minutes later, they came back and informed me I can get my video, either wait for it to get burned off there or else go back this morning. I'm going back this morning to get my video. But before I left, I said, oh, by the way, hey, let me have another one of those forms. I want a video of what just happened in this office.
See, listen, folks, this is so critical. I listen to my tape. I say that a lot, critical. So this is so critical. I'll try to quit doing that. But this is so critical. We've got to go on the offense. We have got to go on the offense. I was watching, you guys probably wouldn't. I was stupid enough to stay up and watch the Cleveland Cavaliers last night. Pro basketball game. They got beat by 30 points on Sunday or whenever it was they played. 30 points they got beat. Last night they win by 30. What the heck's going on? And I'm watching them and I'm thinking, man, these guys are aggressive tonight. These guys are really, really aggressive. And they were so aggressive they took Golden State out of their game plan. They won by 30 points. And I said, boy, there's a lesson there again, isn't there? Isn't there? Don't we hear it all the time from football guys, analysts, when they're broadcasting a football game to us? They say, well, the best defense is a good offense. And you know what? The church has no offense. We have zero offense. Oh, my goodness. And we have yielded the culture to the devil's kids. Now, say, Coach, what are you talking about? Well, if you're a first-time listener to the show or viewer of the show, you may not be able to keep up and understand everything we're going on. A lot of videos, go back and watch them. We're trying to show you that we're fighting a spiritual war here. And we're trying to help you understand that there is no demilitarized zone, that everybody in this spiritual war, and yes, you are in it, whether you know it or not. Somebody may have just given you a free ticket. You might just be watching it, but don't be deceived. everything that's going on in the spiritual world, war, is affecting you. It's affecting you. Everything. The battle for truth. Remember this. Jesus is the truth. I know you didn't get it. I'm going to say it again. Jesus is the truth. So therefore, what would be the enemy of Jesus? Something that's not true. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Some mad scientist told us, right? For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. The assault in America is on the truth. In fact, Jesus, when he stood before Pilate, Pilate said to Jesus, I'm paraphrasing, so are you king? Jesus said, well, that's what you say. Before this purpose came out into the world, right? I'm kind of paraphrasing, that to bear witness to the truth, Jesus said to Pilate. And what Pilate answer? What's the truth? There we are. The battle has never changed, guys. It has never changed. It's truth against lies. It's light against dark. It's good against evil. Call it whatever you want to. There is an eternal equal and opposite reaction going on in America. But here's the problem. The Cavaliers got their butts beat out in San Francisco. Why? Because there was not an equal and opposite reaction. Now, it shows up in a basketball game because it's points. And when one team is getting an advantage, the scoreboard goes higher. So we look and we see, we have a living parable before us called a scoreboard. And we see that for this equal and opposite reaction, things stay balanced. But if one of the reactions is a fighting, it becomes imbalanced. It's not even fun to watch. That's the American society. That's a Christian American cultural war that's going on right before us. Now, guys, I'm going to tell you this. We have an officer of the court with us today, a bar association of lawyers in here. So we don't want to get him in trouble. But the courts have been seized by the dark side. Our criminal justice system has been seized by the dark side. Now, Roger, get ready. I'm going to bring you in here up there on vacation in Niagara Falls. Yes or no, Roger? Isn't it the job of an attorney to poke holes in the truth? If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. And now we find out later, I don't know if you know this or not, Johnny Cochran had pulled the lining out of the gloves, up in the fingers. Did you ever try to put gloves on that the fingers are all jammed up? Johnny Cochran had tampered with those gloves so O.J. couldn't get his fingers all the way up in the glove. Did you know that? And see, the job of an attorney is to cast doubt on the truth. Yes or no, Roger?
Yes. Cast doubt.
Cast doubt, huh? In fact, what does it say? That it has to be what? Beyond a reasonable doubt. And they tell us the scales of justice are balanced. What a bunch of malarkey. And it doesn't have anything to do with the legal system. It has to do with the legal system and the court system because the courts have been seized by the devil's kids while we sit around and wait for the rapture. Oh, well, we'll be out here anyway. Jesus is in charge. Jesus is in control. Why would we worry about that? So I want to bring this up because Michael down in Georgia, Michael, I read your emails every day, but I appreciate them. After we watched the video yesterday on the on CERN and on the demonic dance, that's pretty good stuff, wasn't it, guys? Even though it was kind of tinfoil hat stuff, it was really pretty good. Michael brought to my attention yesterday or this morning when I read his email about dark matter. I don't want to get into this. I'm going to do a show on this later on. Do you guys know what dark matter is? Dark matter is not just the absence of light. I don't want to dive into it. There is so much, guys. There is so much darkness. I don't want to say being created, because that's not really a proper term, although that's one of the things that they're trying to do, is create darkness. You ever heard of a, what was it called, that black hole? You ever heard of a black hole? See, darkness is not just the absence of light, which is what they always told us. It's almost like antimatter. And so we look around what's going on in the world. It's crazy, isn't it? And why is it so crazy? It's crazy because people, oh my goodness, they're being impacted by darkness. Oh my goodness. I'm going to say that again because you didn't get it. Oh, thank you, Lord. Somewhere in the scriptures, the Bible tells us this. The light came into the world. Can anybody finish that for me? Light came into the world.
But the world loved darkness.
But men loved darkness. See, there's a tendency for us to, how do I say this, hunker up close to darkness. Most of us live our lives as close to the edge as we possibly can. We want to be right up there, just right up real close to sin, yet not over the corner, over. Because we know that if we can just get close to that sin, it just feels so good. So good. My friend Elizabeth Johnston made a video yesterday. Guys, this is amazing where the Lord's taking us. I just can't. I hadn't planned on any of this. Stay with me a second. Understand this. Darkness a lot of times comes in the form of temptation. Darkness enters your life, and with it comes temptation. Now, I was taught, as I was growing up, I was raised Catholic. I think I've told many of you out there that's neither here nor there, that I sinned every day in thought, word, and deed. I sinned every day in thought, word, and deed. And so, therefore, I was taught that I was just, it's just kind of the way you are, man. You're just a dirty old filthy sinner. You sin every day, thought, word, and deed. And it took me about 50 years of my life to realize that's a lie. I'm going to shock you. What time is it? 7:17. I've been up over 2 hours. I haven't sinned one time yet. Have you guys? Have you guys sinned yet this morning? Now, wait a minute. I didn't say I haven't thought about sin. I don't know about you. I'm scurrying over my internet this morning preparing for my show. I'm on Facebook. There's pop-ups. There's all kinds of temptation popping right up at me. And so I have the decision, am I going to click on that or am I not going to click on it? Because the scripture tells us that there is no temptation but that which is common to man. And God is faithful and not allow us to be tempted beyond that which we can withstand. But with the temptation, he'll provide a way out. I was taught that thoughts were sin. I think I shared this before, but I'm going to share it again. Martin Luther said, no big deal about Martin Luther. I'm just sharing who said it. He said, you can't stop a bird from flying over your hair, but you can prevent him from building a nest in your hair. So a thought is a thought. Thought's not a sin. Focusing on the thought, giving birth to the thought. Man, I didn't even have this ready. Jared, I'm gonna give you. Oh man, can you see if you can find on my Facebook page, Jared, the Activist Mommy, or maybe go to Facebook page, the Activist Mommy. Elizabeth Johnston put up about a 4-minute video. Maybe we can get that thing ready to go. You can find it, link to it off of my Facebook page, Jared, if you can do that. Guys, listen, this is homosexuality is not a sin. Homosexual behavior is. Alcoholism is not a sin. Getting drunk is. Drug addiction is not a sin. Taking the drugs is. Having a wandering eye for women. Well, that gets into the sin area. But it's not a sin till it commits adultery. Oh, I understand the scripture that says that if you even think about it in your heart, you've committed. I understand that. The Lord there was trying to show us that all sin's a heart issue. It's all a heart issue. It's all a heart issue.
Coach?
Yeah.
The word says that lusteth in his heart. That's doing more than thinking. Lusting is making plans on following through.
There you go, brother. There you go. There you go. And so the idea, like this homosexual is going to lead the gay pride parade here in Columbus, Ohio. This gay pride guy said this. I've been fighting these urges. Well, hey, guys, I fight urges every day. Don't you? Isn't that what it's about? We're fighting urges. Of course we're fighting urges. Fighting urges. So his solution is what? To give in to those urges. Well, when you give in to those urges, it leads to sin. And then you come back and say, well, you know, I was just born that way. I get up every day, I got an urge to eat a big donut. Still do. I don't do it very often. Don't get it. Jared, were you able to find that? Otherwise, I'm gonna move on. If you didn't, that's okay. Again, it's going in a different direction. Every one of us, guys, point I'm making, we can't blame the devil anymore. If you're born again of God and filled with the Spirit of God, stop blaming the devil. Can't blame him anymore. He's the tempter. And how does he tempt you? He tempts you with darkness, with falsehood, with lies. That's the battle that we're fighting in America. Now, I'm going to show you something. Go to Genesis 1, because Roger likes it when we open the Bible. So since this is somewhat of a Bible study, I think it'd probably be important that we go there. While I'm thinking of this, hey, Roger, I know you probably haven't seen this because you've been up there staying in that real ritzy place up there in Niagara Falls.
Which video?
I don't want a video yet, Jared. I'm sorry. The city of Columbus, Ohio, is now going to pass legislation telling those at abortion clinics, that they can't be within 15 feet of the building. I can't be within 15 feet. They're having a hearing, a public hearing we're going to go to on Tuesday. They've already had one reading in city council, and the ordinance reads that we are not allowed to be within 15 feet of the building for fear of harassment or making people feel uncomfortable. See how the legal system tries to protect darkness? Now, they're so smart. I couldn't figure out why. Every time I go there, they're filming me. And you guys know that I'm speaking the truth. So we ought to call this the Coach Dave Protection Act or something, because they're trying to protect these workers from me speaking the truth about their sin. They don't want to hear it, right? So Sherrod Brown, you guys have all heard of her, maybe you haven't. He's our senator. He's our uber left senator here in the state of Ohio, Sherrod Brown. His daughter's on city council. Lord help us. Probably couldn't have any good Christians on there, could we? Probably couldn't run a Christian in city of Columbus, get a Christian on there. Our entire city council is run by those who hate God. Well, Sherrod Brown's daughters introduced this legislation, and probably on June 20th, they're going to try to make it a law that I now have to be 15 feet away from the property. See, they've already got us 30 feet away from the door. They've already got us to where they can't even hardly reach us. And then if we try to appeal to them, we have to raise our voice, and then they get mad because we're yelling. So now they say, okay, well, we're going to make you move back 15 feet. And then they're going to say, well, you can't use any voice magnification. You're not allowed to do that. So what they want to do, 15 feet, by the way, puts me clear on the other side of East Main Street. That's what they want. It's the devil's kid, see? Light and darkness, truth and lies. It's never changed. So we're going to fight that thing. That's coming our way. I'm in Genesis 1. Anybody else there? Y'all there? I'm trying to read what J.R. wrote over here. J.R. said, there's so much light being extinguished, it's our dark nature. Wow. Yeah, hey, Jared, by the way, J.R. has got that video if you're looking for it. Okay, guys, we're in Genesis 1. Just notice stuff. Let's notice some things as we go through this real quickly. I like it better when somebody else reads. Mike, you got your Bible? Roger's mad. Roger, you got yours, Roger?
Yeah, I got mine. I'm ready.
Okay, go ahead, man. Start. Let's just read here, man.
Genesis 1.
Yep.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters.
Let me stop you a minute, Roger. What was covering the earth? Darkness. Thank you. Just want to make sure that we got that in there. Hey, so there was darkness before there was light. Ooh. Go on.
And God said, let there be light.
Wow.
And there was light.
Huh. God said, we got to get rid of some of this darkness. Yeah. In fact, he said his son, when his son came into the world, he said his son is the light of the world, right? So we're evidently living in a dark world. In fact, we use those terms all the time, right? Dark world, darkened heart, thoughts are dark, 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 dark. And we're thinking of the darkness as merely just the absence of light. But guys, it's more than that. It's more than that. Keep going, Raj.
God saw that the light was good and separated the light from darkness.
What did he see was good?
Light was good.
Light was good, and what did he separate it from?
The light from the darkness.
So guys, so right there, you don't need to go any farther into the Bible than to understand what the battle is. It's between light and darkness. That's it. Light and darkness. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? Light and darkness. Jesus is the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men. That obviously the world was covered with darkness, and what did the Lord do? He sent light. So today we look out in the world, and what is the world covered with today, Roger?
Darkness.
And what did he send?
Light.
And who's the light bearer?
Christ.
So are we. This is so simple again. This is so simple. So simple. They murder babies at Planned Parenthood. Will any light show up? Huh? Any light show up? So I shine up, not with my little light, but I show up with my spotlight. And what do? Say, oh, that bright light's too bright. Let's move him 15 feet farther back. Let's get them across the road where the light won't be as bright. Truth and lies. Satan is the father of lies. Father of lies. Keep going, Roger. I'm going to try to just sit here a minute and shut up and let you keep reading. Guys, please notice as we go through this, the separation. Watch it. It's just right before us. Go, Roger.
God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day.
By the way, I bet you didn't know this. We've got it backwards. Do you know that in the Bible, the day begins at sundown? That God is always moving from darkness to light. Look what it just says right there. Verse 5. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Day begins when the sun goes down. It doesn't begin when the sun comes up. God always moves from dark to light. How many of you knew that? No, you didn't. That's good. Just a little tidbit there. Keep going, Roger.
And God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. Verse 7, so God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse.
Mine says divided. Divided, separated, divided. I'm trying to help you to see this continuous separation and division that the Bible is telling us is there. Go ahead, Roger.
So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it, and it was so. 8, God called the expanse sky, and there was evening. And
that's why I hate that Bible you're reading from. That's why I hate that Bible you're reading from. Sorry, Roger. Verse 8 says this. Doesn't say, and God called the firmament sky. It doesn't say that. And God called the firmament heaven.
Ooh, I like that better.
Well, why are you reading that stinking Bible still? How many times can I warn you?
That's all my personal, it has my lifelong personal notes.
Okay, well when you read it, get something good out and read it. And God, watch this, and God called the firmament heaven.
Wow.
And the evening and the morning were the second day. When did the second day begin? And when did it end? It began in the evening, and it ended in the morning. Why? Because God always moves from darkness into light. Isn't that good? Isn't that good to see the pattern of the Lord at work? And so we are convinced that the light is being put out by the darkness. We have it just backwards. Our whole worldview is screwed up. God put us into a place that was dark, and he brought light. He is putting you into a place that is dark, and he says, shine! You're the light of the world. It was dark, now it's bright because you're there. Oh, my goodness. Anybody see this but me? Huh? Am I talking to myself? Oh, my goodness. Okay, just a couple more, Raj.
God called the dry ground land and the gathered waters he called.
There you go again. Go ahead.
And God saw that it was good.
He saw what?
That it was good.
It was good. The separation was good. Okay. Go ahead.
Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seeds in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so.
One more verse.
The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good.
And look what happens next.
And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day.
When did the day start? Yep, started in the evening again. Then didn't change anything. By the way, one more verse, Roger. I know I said that twice. One more verse here.
14, and God said, let there be lights in the heavens.
Wow, wait a minute. Why did there have to be lights in the heavens? Because it were dark. It was dark. He says, let's lighten this place up here. Let's put lights up there. Go ahead.
Let there be lights in the heavens of the sky to separate the day from the night.
Amen.
And let them serve as signs to make seasons and days and years.
Yeah, go one more verse.
And let there be lights in the heavens of the sky to give light on the earth.
And it was so. Wow. That's so heavy and so plain and so simple. That God always moves from darkness to light. Always. Now, let's ask ourselves something here. Is America moving from darkness to light? Or is America moving from light to darkness? Well, there's something seriously wrong because that's not God's pattern. God's pattern, read it through there. We just read 15 verses of it. God's pattern is always starts out dark and it ends up light. It starts out dark and it ends up light. Things are dark, I'm going to build me some lights. The place is dark, I'm going to send me some Christians. They're killing babies, I'm going to send me a prophet. It's always that way throughout the Bible. But what have we done with our churches? Things are dark, come on in the church, we got lights on in here. There'll be light in here, come on in here, we got the lights on. You go back out there, it's dark. They never tell you to go in the church and get your batteries charged up so you can go out and be that light. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. No. So the battle has never changed, as I said. It's always dark, light, good, evil, truth. Who's the truth? Thank you. Jesus is the truth. Oh, anybody? Anyone want to jump in here and hit me in the mouth or anything?
Coach, I think what's sticking out to me is as we talk about, you know, God and Christ moving from that darkness into light, so many Christians, as you've touched on your show, would say, well, that's, you know, when Christ returns in the end, that'll be when the light comes back and we don't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. And I think about, you know, in the Gospels, when Christ tells his disciples that they will, you know, they'll do even greater things than he in their ministries. And to use that as an example of how much light we could bring into the world, and yet so sadly we very often do not, just what I'm thinking about right now.
Hey, Dylan, I don't know if your dad ever tells you this. I'm so proud of you, man. I'm so proud of you. We need guys like you. It almost makes me want to cry that depth of that truth can be inside you at such a young age. And you hang on to that, buddy. You don't let anybody steal that out of you. Because remember this, the darkness is going to try to do everything it can to overwhelm you, Dylan. It'll do everything. In fact, it'll come to you and tell you that you're wrong, that you're not going about it right, that your light's too bright. Quit shining that light in our eyes. Will you stop that, Dylan? Quit shine. Don't you go to that gay pride parade and shine that light down there. Don't you go do that. Christians don't do that. Christians go back and we hide inside our churches. We're not going to take our spotlight out there and shine it on the evil deeds of people. We're not going to do that. That's what they're going to try. Isn't that what they – somebody help me out here. Isn't that what they do?
Yeah. You know, Coach, you yesterday you talked about it, and we talked about the connection of A equals B equals C and all that. Well, the Word says in the beginning Jesus was the Word, and Word was with God, so that's Jesus. The Word is – and Jesus is truth. Jesus is the light. And, you know, if it's not the truth, it's not just the enemy of Jesus. You know, words play – different words have different impacts on our lives as human beings and according to our culture, like the word blessed versus blessed. You can read the Psalms, and every time you say the word blessed, you can say blessed, and people think that's real spiritual. That's really cool. Same word is blessed, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Just one's pronounced differently.
Yep. Just emphasis. Uh-huh.
When it's a lie, it's not just that it's the enemy. When it's the lie, it's the Antichrist.
Amen, brother.
That word has a different impact.
It does. It's against Christ, Antichrist. Kevin.
I think this revelation here in Genesis is no small matter. I hope the listeners, viewers really, really get a hold of that. Idea of dark and light that's right there at the very beginning of the Bible, laid out for us. You just made it very clear this Praise morning. Lord. Unbelievable. You know, holding that candle and in a dark world. And the amazing thing is, no matter how much light you might think you don't have, I think of a little bit of light shine so brightly in a dark, dark place. It doesn't take, you know, I think back in the old days, remember our watches that used to glow in the dark?
Yeah,
how
I remember.
They, how bright they were in a dark room somewhere. Just incredible. And
Amen.
we just got to hold on to that light. And we got to, like you said, we got to make it shine.
Amen, Kevin.
That's an incredible... That's just an incredible revelation you just read there.
Praise the Lord, brother. I'm going to show you. I'm going to do you another one right now. Hang on here, man, guys. I'm going to turn off my studio light here. Hang on. Everybody stay cool a minute. I'm going to disappear. I'm going to turn off my studio light. Huh? Oh, you can see me a little bit because there's a light in the background. But I'm going to show you something. You ready? Huh? Can you see me now? Huh? Can you see me now? Huh? Why? Because a little bit of light came in and it dispelled the darkness, see? This ain't rocket science. This isn't hard. But they want to tell us, shut that thing off! Stop that! Stop that! Wait a minute, is there a mouse over there? Let me get a light and see. Is there a mouse over there? Yeah. Is there a... Oh, my goodness, look at those roaches down there! Oh! Put the light away, Coach. Don't show the roaches and we won't know they're there. I got to climb back up and get my light back on. Hang on. Stay with me. I'm not done yet. Stay in Genesis. I'm back. Kevin, I wasn't even going to go any farther, but you just made me. Let me figure out how to turn this thing off now. Wear down my battery. Come on. Let's go up here then. Let's turn that off. Good. Okay, now. You still in Genesis? Anybody still with me? Because I wasn't going to go there, but I have to now. Oh. Jesus, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. I can't believe the revelation I'm getting. Jesus, when he took the mud, he spit and he made the mud, and he rubbed it in the blind man's eyes, and they came and they washed it clean. The Pharisees came to him and said, are you telling us that you can give sight to the blind? Is that what you're telling me? He said, no. No, he said, I came to bring light. And as long as I'm in the light of the world, as long as I'm in the, here, oh my goodness. He is light. He's in you. He's in me. He's light. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, because you say you don't see, your darkness remains. You made a choice to stay in darkness. Everybody can see there's light. Everybody can see it, but you made a choice to stay in darkness. Verse 15. Watch this. And let them be for lights in the firmament and for the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. What was the purpose of the sun? To give light upon the earth. And it was so. 16. The watch. And God made two great lights. It's never dark. It's never dark. And God made two great lights. The greater light to rule in the day, and the lesser light to rule at night. And then he also made some stars. God set them in the firmament, in the heaven, to do what? To give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day, and over the night, to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw and said, yeah, that's cool. That's a picture of us. God's people are supposed to be moving the earth from darkness to light. Wow, is that ever deep?
I got to say this right now, Coach. The stars, I think God said something to Abraham about the stars. That's a representative of us, the people that are filled with light, that fill the earth, that we're moving about right now, bringing light where there's darkness.
Kevin, last night I was watching that basketball game. It went over to almost 11:30. And before I went to bed, I live out in the country, folks. I'm not hiding from anybody, but I'm not in the city. And before I went to bed,
don't blame you.
I put the dog out to go to the bathroom. And I stepped outside and I looked up, and it was the most unbelievably brilliant starlit night last night. You know, sometimes you can look up and see the stars, and then you can look up and really see the stars. You know what I'm talking about? Last night was one of those really see the stars. And it fell into my heart again. Look, that's us. That your seed will be as the stars.
Right? Abraham.
Thank you. Why? What do stars do? Just hang? Is that what they do? Is hang up there? No. They give light. They give light. And see, we're in a culture, in a society where they've told us, stop shining your light, please.
You know, Coach, I think they've not only told us to stop shining our light, but they've, I think Christians see the world and they see these continual losses in the culture war and the spiritual war, and I think they decide that the battle's already over and that their light's that's why their light goes out. And I'm thinking about when you, as you know, our football coach, you took us all into the gymnasium, you turned all the lights off, you gave us candles,
yeah,
all those candles, and then you and all the other coaches started trying to blow them out. Well, we tried to light each other's candles again.
We would blow your candle out and your teammate would relight it, right, Dylan?
Yeah, and that's how we kept that light going, is, you know, a metaphor for how we'll keep the, you know, that game mindset going when one of us gets down. And Christians today need that. They need other Christians to come up and reignite that fire.
Oh boy.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
You know, this makes me think of I've attended church for years, and now I don't. I'm here, but the church drained my batteries. And I came here and got plugged in to some power, some truth.
Oh, man.
And my battery immediately started recharging. I forward every one of your videos. I want to get people to plug in.
Amen, brother.
Because their battery is dead.
Oh, so listen, Mike Heath. Tell the story, you don't have to mention names, about how yesterday's show, you watched it, it fired up your heart. Tell that story real briefly, Mike.
Yeah, I was on the whole show, and when I was done, all that testosterone that you pump into us for an hour was pumped into me, and I strapped on my phone and plugged in my headphones and turned on Michael Savage's podcast, and I ran for 30 minutes. And so by the time I finished with an hour of you and 30 minutes of Michael Savage, I was pretty super pumped, and I showed up for the men's group meeting for breakfast, and I was drenched in sweat, sat right down next to a guy, and they had already ordered, and didn't apologize for being sweaty. I said, you just have to put up with it. And then from there, it went to a discussion about politics, social issues, what really matters, and I was, you know, like I said, full of sweat and testosterone, piss and vinegar. And by the time the breakfast was over, after about an hour, it was contagious. The other men were pumped. But, you know, I had to fight the whole time against the darkness that's in our hearts. And I felt it. The fight was going on in my own heart as the men were discussing these current issues.
Because so you're bringing light, and they're resisting the light because their deeds are dark. They don't want to receive the light.
Yeah, and it's not that they want to receive the light. These are Christian men, but we're so to use your word, we're so programmed. We're programmed. So, for example, one of the men says we were talking about the so-called gay rights debate. What an insane debate! The whole thing from beginning to end is completely insane, it's not worth having. The only reason we're doing it is to destroy our capacity to know God and to think about the truth and to see the truth and to experience love, beauty, and truth in our everyday lives. That's why we're having a fight over everything gay. So that issue came up.
Amen.
So that issue came up, and one of the guys says, "Well, you know, we have to." All the Christians understand that we have to respect the civil rights of everybody. Darkness, right?
Yeah,
darkness.
Yeah. We have to accept. They have Alan Keyes. I'm not dropping names. Alan Keyes told me the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and endowed with their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Now listen. Light coming into my life. Alan Keyes says there is no inalienable wrong. Inalienable right. You have the right to do right. You have no right to do wrong. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, that's the key, and that's why I chose the name Equal Rights, Not Special Rights, and you borrowed it, stole it, whatever you want to call it, for the target, some of your target rhetoric, and I was really thrilled to see it. But equal rights, not special rights. We never, ever, at the beginning of this debate 30 years ago, ever should have surrendered the high ground of equal rights to these people.
Ever.
We never should have surrendered that.
They had equal rights.
Yeah, they had equal rights. It's not about rights. It's like it's a behavior that has to be condemned if we have any modicum of if we have one brain cell left in our skull, it has to be condemned. It's not logical. It's not rational. It's like I said before, it's designed. It's like snake venom. It's been injected into our cultural and social and political and moral and religious veins, and it has paralyzed us.
It has, brother.
We can't think anymore. All we can do is debate about gays, and now we got to debate about transgenders, and we got to think about bathrooms. Oh boy, that's a lot of fun to think about that. And and when you're done thinking about that, we're going to make you think about children and adults coming together to love one another.
Amen, brother. So is it possible, trying to connect the dot here, folks, that this dark matter's real? That they're releasing dark matter that is just as real as light matter? And that most people who are unregenerated are being absorbed or are absorbing this darkness, this dark matter, are drawn to this darkness? I said this the other day. I'll say it again. I don't have my Jesus hat on. I wore my Jesus hat to the clinic the other day. I did a video at the clinic, and I had a guy contact me, say, "Hey, where would I get one of those hats? It says Jesus. That's all it said on it." And I got thinking, Mike, there aren't one in 1,000 men that would wear that hat in public. You agree with that?
I would.
Well, not. I don't count you guys. But one in 1,000 men. No, they might wear it in church, or they might wear it when they play golf with their Christian buddies. But they're not going to put that hat on and go to the kids' ball game. Everywhere. Hey, I do it every time I go. I'm wearing Jesus everywhere I go. Why? Brother, that's the light. I'm shooting light beams. When I'm walking around, there are light beams coming out of my head. Light, 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 light. And you know what happens? I wear that, and everywhere I go, there's an impact just by my hat. There's an impact. Because people I play golf with, I find them apologizing for words they use. People I bump into just hanging out with, they apologize. Say, oh, I'm sorry, coach. Why? I didn't say a daggone word. But I have my light on.
Hey, coach.
I got my miner's cap on, see?
Hey, coach. Yeah. You want to hear a true story that illustrates your point exactly? I wear your cross hat everywhere. I'm going to wear it. I'm going to run to the abortion, not run, I'm going to drive this time, but to the abortion mill after we're done here in Augusta where they kill babies this morning. And I wear the cross hat. I wear it everywhere. I wore it into McDonald's last Friday, McDonald's restaurant. Standing in front of me, 6 foot tall, hairy man wearing a dress, ordering a coffee. Young girl behind the counter taking the order. I'm standing behind the man wearing the dress, wearing the cross hat. The girl's looking at the man in almost a worshipful sort of a way, like, you're a hero. I step up to order my coffee. I'm wearing the cross hat, and I felt like I was an alien. You see what's happening?
Yeah, I see what's happening.
The darkness is becoming the light.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lie. Sorry.
There ain't no light there. Weaver, are you trying to get in here?
Oh, I just need a hat.
Hey, where do you see my new T-shirts, by the way? I'm picking them up today. Hey, listen, Roger. Wait a minute, Roger.
You a check, so
I all right.
Sent you a check. So I want a hat.
You're in the hole with me anyway. My battery's running low. I got to plug it in. You're in the hole with me anyway. And listen, I've got new T-shirts. I'm picking them up today. I'm going to wear one tomorrow. You guys know what our T-shirt says on the back, that right up here? Huh? My new T-shirt is not going to have that on the front of it. On the front of it, it says, "Truth sounds like hate." Be unveiled tomorrow here on the show. I'll be wearing it. So there, Roger, put on your stinking hat and put on your shirt. No matter where, listen, I'm not bragging. Don't take me wrong. Everywhere I go, I wear a representation of my Savior. It is a spotlight. It is a miner's cap. It is an identification. Here comes some light. Here comes some light. And wait a minute. The Bible says the men will run from it because they don't like it. That's all right. I like to see those cockroaches flee. Go ahead, Roger.
Oh, quick testimony. As I look back on my life, the times where sin has prevailed and darkness seems to control, when I brought forth light into that situation, be it in my own life or others, it took a little time for the light to penetrate. It wasn't the snap of the finger. There had to be a little persistence. There had to be a little patience. But the light prevailed.
Mm.
Darkness puts up a fight. It puts up a fight. It's not going to go down easy. But Amen. The light will penetrate and the light will prevail. I think what the problem is, the church and individuals, we get worn out too quickly. We think if we just throw little Jesus on it, the darkness is going to run and everything's going to be hunky-dory. The darkness puts up a fight.
They're draining our battery, ain't they, Rich? They're draining our batteries.
Hey, Coach, I don't want to get off subject. Are you going to play that video, Activist Mommy? Because that was light. I was amazed. That the wisdom of that woman, man.
You're gonna get to meet her, Jared. We're gonna play that tomorrow, okay? I don't want to put it in. We're gonna play that tomorrow. Be important.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
You know, you started off talking about temptation, and it led into the aspect of light and darkness and everything. Well, I just feel compelled to add this to the conversation. You know, how many people out there, and even in these churches where they're not getting a whole lot of real truth and light, how many of them believe that God answers prayer? Now, you'll get almost every one of them to raise their hand. I believe God answers prayer. I believe God answers prayer. Well, let's think just for a minute about how God or Jesus taught us to pray. One of the things he taught us to pray is, lead us not into temptation. So I have taken that statement from the way he taught me to pray, that since I do believe God answers prayer, anytime I find myself in a situation where I am tempted, I immediately have taught myself, God didn't put me here. I made the decisions that got me here because I prayed for God not to lead me into temptation. So if I find myself in temptation, I know instantly that I wasn't letting God rule my life and tell me where to go and what to do.
That is good. So in other words,
that I think might help folks.
If you find yourself out in a barnyard and you're lusting after one of those sheep, it might be a good idea to leave. Right? I mean, it's... Lord help us, man. Lord help us. Okay, now hang on. Yeah, go ahead.
You know what God just laid on my heart is how hard it is to turn your light on when you're in the darkness, trying to find that flashlight, trying to find your phone and swipe up and turn that light on, and how when you really want to be in that situation, you got to get that light on before you go out into the darkness.
Take it with you, huh?
Exactly. And for me, especially with, you know, talking on the grounds of temptation especially, but I think it's applicable to all aspects of trying to light up darkness, whether it's in your own life or others. You got to come in with the light. You can't look for it after the fact.
Guns blazing, right, Dylan? You come in with guns blazing. Now, guys, look, I'm going to give you another really, really simple illustration. This happened to me last night, two nights ago. I forget which night it was. I heard something in my house. Ever happened to you? It's night. It's dark. Heard something in my house. What do you think I did? Yep. I jumped up and turned on the lights. Because you know what the lights did? They revealed to me that it was just my imagination. When I turned on the lights, that boogeyman in the dark, he wasn't even there. I just thought he was. And that's why it tells us in Romans 12, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by turning on the lights. Turn on the lights in your mind. Fill your mind with the water of the Word. Wash your mind clean with the water of the Word. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Not Fox News. I was watching that, you know, two nights ago, whenever that Democratic thing was, whenever they were having a thing out in California, I turned it on. I'm not making this up. I don't turn my TV on at all. That's just sports. I'm watching that maybe. I turned on TV the other night. The California primaries. I watched it about 30 seconds, and all of a sudden, propaganda. It's just screaming at me right up. Propaganda, propaganda, propaganda. I shut that thing right off. Now, what was saying that to me? Me? My little old mind, smart me? No. I filled myself with this. I'm filled with this. I recognize truth now. So I'm not going to listen to that crap. I'm not going to listen to that. Trump's a racist. Mexicans aren't racist. Blacks aren't racists. Chinese aren't racist. Just them white boys. Oh, them white boys, they're racist. You got to watch them white boys. And why do we like this? Why do we like the racism? Because our hearts are darkened. Without Christ, we got darkened hearts. And what do we know about our darkened hearts? We love darkness. We love it. We love it. Man, this has been a powerful show. You know how I know it's powerful? Because it wasn't one part of it planned. Not one part of what we talked about did I have planned when I walked down here to come into this room. So those of you maybe who tune in for the first time, it's like this every morning. Every morning it's like this. And we would just encourage you to be part of it. Just be part of it. If you're sick and tired of your church and going there and they're feeding you with that pablum, that stuff that isn't even true and isn't even relevant, and you're finding yourself all alone and you're drowning and you don't even know if you can dig yourself out of a hole, come on, man, we'll help you dig out. Well, there's hope. There is light. Come on, join us. Join us. You've spent an hour watching O'Reilly. Spend 3 hours listening to Limbaugh. Garbage in, garbage out. You eat garbage, you're going to get sick. And I'm telling you, a lot of you are sick. Well, you come and sit down at this table. We're going to feed you the bread of life, and we're going to let you drink living water. And you're going to walk away from here, and you're going to be like Mike. You're going to have great big stones. Right, Mike? You're going to have great big stones when you walk away from here and say, you know what? Daggone. I am a man. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I am the light of the world. I am the salt of the earth. I'm getting ready to go to the abortion clinic, and I'm going to stand closer than 15 feet. See you tomorrow. God bless you. Thanks for joining us.